Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the radio program, Today's Issues on American Family Radio. We have that clip from a great moment in American cinema, which, so we were having a little fun last hour with the scene from Three Amigos, which about the
Steve word, Martin, Steve, Martin Short, and Chevy Chase.
But this scene doesn't involve any of them.
Right, that's right.
This is just a scene with two characters.
From a Mexican gang.
From Mexican
back
gang.
In the Old West.
Yes, and so yeah, if you've never seen that.
In the words of the DNC from the Taco Bowl engagement.
Oh, my goodness, yes. That's right. See, we brought a little political. It's not just for fun.
Right,
this is
right.
This is politically insightful.
There's a purpose behind our clip from Three Amigos coming up right here. But anyway, this is that plethora scene. And so let's go ahead and play that for all our listeners.
Yes, many. Would you say I have a plethora of piñatas?
A what?
A plethora.
Oh, yes. You have a plethora.
Jefe, what is a plethora?
Why, guapo?
Well, you told me I have a plethora. And I just would like to know if you know what a plethora is. I would not like to think that a person would tell someone he has a plethora and find out that that person has no idea what it means to have a plethora.
Forgive me, guapo. I know that I, Jefe, do not have your superior intellect and education. But could it be that once again, you are angry at something else and are looking to take it out on me?
Like what, Jefe?
Could it be? All right, there you go. So.
You are looking to take it out on me?
That was good, Abe.
That's right.
That's a good Mexican accent.
Gracias, señora.
You got
señora. Well, you just called him a lady, but
señor.
Señor. So that this is not
this
only
is an
education
right here
to learn what a plethora means,
right?
Okay, but also because the Democratic National Committee over the weekend or this week, it just was revealed.
Had a plethora of what?
Well, that they had these WikiLeaks. They had a
bunch
of emails.
Leaked
emails, and one of which talks about the Democratic National Committee being disrespectful to the Hispanic community. Talking
that's
about
what
their
Abe's talking about.
Taco Bowl engagement.
Yes.
That's what they call the Hispanics.
Outreach.
Yes,
outreach to the Hispanic community.
Outreach to prospective Hispanic voters as Taco Bowl engagement.
Right. Now, I eat tacos on a plate, okay?
You never had a taco bowl?
Soft shells, but taco, but that's real popular, is it? I've never gone to a Mexican restaurant and said, bring me a bowl of taco.
No, taco salad comes in a bowl.
Taco salad.
Yeah.
Okay,
I got you.
Okay.
And,
so,
and sometimes a taco bowl will have rice and meat and stuff in it, too.
Got it.
A plethora.
Could it be, Mr. President, El Presidente, that you don't know what a taco bowl is?
Me llamo.
That could be
guapo.
True.
Me llamo.
Me llamo guapo.
El guapo.
Yeah, El guapo means the handsome one. So thank you very much for calling.
Hey,
you guys
you're
both,
welcome.
As long as you don't call me El Gordo, which means the fat one.
Okay.
So I do remember some of my Spanish from high school and college.
So what we're talking about, those emails that were...
Yeah.
You know,
it's bad.
You know the most hated word for Hillary Clinton in the whole English language is two words, but email.
Yeah.
You say email to Hillary Clinton, she cringes, she recoils,
right.
She has blackouts because of the email scandal that she got involved in, where she decided it was a good idea to put a private server to do our country's business in her basement at her house in New York. thought that'd be
it was a bathroom closet. It's even worse than a basement.
Right, but it was secure because it had a couple of doors in front of it, you know. And so she must have thought it was secure.
Secure.
Somebody asked her, did you wipe it? Was it computer wiped? And she goes, you mean like
with a
rag or something?
She was
being facetious.
I want someone in the media to say, if you're elected president, are you going to have your emails on a personal server? And now she's obviously going to say, well, no, I'm not. And then I want that media person to say,
why not?
Well, why not?
Yep.
If you can separate your personal from your professional, and just make sure you don't have classified on there.
Yeah. So why wouldn't you do that? What would be the problem with that? Because she would have to answer, well, because it was insecure. It was not a secure server. And so then the questions that follow after that go to her judgment. So
right. That's why, I tell you what, when we talk about the bias of the liberal media in this country and how they don't do their jobs. Now, there are some media today that do their jobs and do ask hard questions. But the president, you mentioned about what the president's never asked about Islam that I've seen. Ed, you talked about this. You and I were talking about this yesterday because these Islamic extremists, if that's what you want to call them, are terrorists, are Islamic, a proper way to define them would be Islamic supremacist. These people are murdering, committing mayhem all around the world, especially in Europe and in America, and on a daily basis almost. And President Obama, all he comes out and says is, remember, Islam is a religion of peace.
Right.
To which you made the point to me yesterday, and you've made it before. Do you know what point I'm driving at here?
I don't remember. I said so many outstanding things yesterday.
Well, what you said was somebody should ask President Obama, how do you know it's a religion of peace?
Oh, right. Yeah, because he's...
What makes you an authority?
He's making the assertion that Islam is a religion of peace. So either you know a lot about Islam and therefore can prove that assertion, or you don't know a lot about Islam, can't prove your assertion, so why are you making it?
That's good, Ed.
But no reporter ever asked him that. That's a natural question, Abe.
That's real good. I want to see that question asked to him because it does
exactly. I told
you
it was outstanding.
That was outstanding. That would make him either divulge his bona fides that makes him so convinced that it's a religion of peace, or it shows that he doesn't know anything about it.
Right.
Right.
That's
he gets away with these emphatic statements like this, he'll, with his, Islam is a religion of peace, but he lectures us on
right
every few days, whenever these jihadists attack somebody, that's right out of his mouth, almost right, to remind us about the Crusades or something of that nature. And you go, Mr. President, you keep saying that Islam is a religion of peace. Let me ask you, how do you know that?
Right.
What can you say? Why didn't anybody ask him that?
The media doesn't ask that.
No, they don't ask that. Because they're so PC themselves.
Yeah.
That they're intimidated to even ask the question.
Or they already know the answer.
Right.
And they don't want him exposed.
Right.
That's a good, that's true too. They already know the answer. But, I guess it was a couple of years ago, 20% of the general American public, not just right-wing conspiracy nuts, 20% of the American public, that may be the right-wing conspiracy nuts. I don't know. But they believe that he's a Muslim. He's a secret Muslim. I'm talking about Obama.
Right.
And I was just saying, wow, that's a pretty high percentage of people who believe that. You know, even though he doesn't go to mosque, mm-hmm. There's no evidence that he gets on his prayer mat mm-hmm. and turns toward Mecca five times a day. But people think that's how identified President Obama is with Islam, because he's talked more about Islam than he ever has about his supposed Christian faith. I say supposed because he doesn't go to church, and I don't ever hear him talking about.
He did go to church.
Personal salvation. Well, you get
Trinity.
He went. He went to what's his name? Reverend
Wright
Church.
20 years.
That is interesting. Why he's never asked. President Obama's never asked by the media to defend his charge, his claim that Islam is a religion of peace, when what is going on around the world and in history defy that. So
let me just, I was just looking up the percentage of Americans who think that President Obama is a Muslim. CNN poll just last year, September of 2015. Do you happen to know what religion Barack Obama is? Is he Protestant, Catholic, Jewish, Mormon, Muslim, or something else, or not religious? Among all respondents, 29%, almost one-third, said Obama is Muslim. Yes.
There you go.
And it is 11 percentage points higher than Pew Research found 5 years earlier in 2010. So the perception is growing.
Yeah, and I think it's because whenever things that happen nationally, globally, he comes out with such vigorous defense of Islam.
I don't think people believe him anymore, and I don't think he believes himself anymore. Let me by that I mean he doesn't sound believable anymore, and I think he knows it when he trumps out the religion of peace card every time there's a jihadi attack. He's almost like, you know, I can't say this again. Nobody's buying it. That's the sort of facial expression I got the other day from watching President Obama. It's not. I don't even think liberals are buying it anymore. The religion of peace thing.
Right.
All right. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Joining us now, Dr. Alex McFarland, co-host of Exploring the Word each afternoon, weekdays here on American Family Radio. Alex has produced a wonderful book and DVD series called The 21 Toughest Questions.
That kids ask their parents about Christianity.
Yeah. And Alex, how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great. Thoroughly enjoying listening to you guys today and thinking about the movie, The Three Amigos. That is a funny movie.
That is a funny movie. The best I remember is clean. I don't remember anything.
Would you say we have a plethora of progressivists, a surplus of socialists?
Could it be, Alex, that
you're upset with somebody else and you're taking out them? I want to ask, but what, do you think he's a Muslim, Alex?
You know, well, let me put it this way. What if people begin to say, you know, Alex McFarland is a Scientologist? Everybody would say, wait a minute, I've never heard him mention Scientology, and he's mentioned so much about Christianity. That's patently false. Alex is clearly a Christian. All he does is preach about Jesus. The reason nobody would mistake me for a Buddhist or a Scientologist or something is because I never, ever talk about those things, and certainly not in a positive way. I have no idea what the president believes in terms of his salvation, but I got to tell you, you know, here's a guy that said on September 25th, 2012, the future must not belong to those who slander the prophet of
Islam. He said that before the United Nations.
Yes.
Give us that quote again. Keep in mind, folks, this is the President of the United States, Barack Obama, who has said he is a Christian, and he stands before the United Nations, and I'm not sure that this is around the time they killed all those people at that cartoon newspaper in France. I'm not sure what was going on exactly.
It was right in the aftermath of the...
Charlie Hebdo.
Yeah, exactly.
So anyway, he's speaking to the world, basically, President Obama is, and his quote, as a Christian man, again, this is what he says. If you ask President Obama, if you pushed him on it, he's going to say, I'm a Christian. But he gives this kind of quote. Quote that again.
This is verbatim. Quote, the future must not belong to those who slander the prophet of Islam, end of quote, September 25, 2012 at the UN. And then September of 2012, he said, the sweetest sound I know is the Muslim call to prayer. Mm-hmm. Do you remember that?
Oh, I remember that very well. And I've heard it, and that is not a sweet sound.
No,
this,
not.
Oh, I know.
It's a wailing man.
I've heard the minarets.
It is. That's what it is.
Yeah.
And in different parts of the world, in Europe, in the Holy Land, in Dearborn, Michigan, in Newark, New Jersey, I've heard that unsettling, demonic din that is the Muslim call to prayer. Now, here's my point. The Word of God says in Acts 4, verse 12, there is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. No other name under heaven, the name of Jesus. If you're a follower of the risen Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who shed his blood to wash our sins away, how in the world could you possibly say that the sweetest sound you know is the Muslim call to a false god? I mean, so I don't know.
But when he says when he says the future does not belong to those who slander the prophet, that's personal.
I know.
What President Obama is saying there is the prophet. That's different than saying, if he would have got up before the United Nations, President Obama, and said, listen, we need to have respect for each other around the world, whether we're Muslim, Christian, Buddhist, or nothing at all. We can't have this violence and this hatred for one another. Those kinds of things. I could understand that kind of message. You get up there and you say the future does not belong to those who would slander the prophet. What you're saying is that the inference is that there's going to be a price to pay for you people out there who slander the prophet, which that is a personal. The prophet is in the prophet I believe in. You see what I'm saying? I mean, this
exactly.
is weird for a Christian man to say. Go ahead.
Exactly. So,
yeah.
You know, somebody asked R.C. Sproul on the radio one time, and R.C. Sproul is a scholar and apologist, and somebody said, what's the difference between the God of Christianity and the gods of all the other religions? And R.C. Sproul very quickly said, well, the difference is this, the God of Christianity exists. Now, that's a great answer.
Yeah.
Now, as a Christian, you know, I don't want to kick a hornet's nest, and I don't want to make unnecessarily incendiary remarks, but I would not call Muhammad a prophet, not a true prophet of God, because he predicted Islam would cover the world in his lifetime. That didn't happen. The biblical standard, if a man is wrong once, he's not a true prophet of God about a prediction. Obama has said things like, the Holy Quran tells us that God
what
made
Christian man.
Yes.
I don't know. I just
pains at the Holy Quran.
Yeah.
And then he says to Christians at I think it was a national prayer breakfast. He goes, "Let's we get on our high horse. Remember the Crusades."
Yeah.
In other words, what he's saying is Islam. We see all these things going on with Islamic jihadists in the world today. Well, you don't have a right to criticize folks because we got the Crusades in the rearview mirror. It's just really strange and weird. Hey, I want to change topics because. You gave a couple years, I'm sure, Alex, to this project, and we folks get a pen and paper ready because I'm gonna give you a phone number to order an excellent resource for your family, for your youth group, for your pastor, for a small group study. And Alex, what's the name of it? What's the name of your project?
The 21 toughest questions your kids will ask about Christianity. And it's designed to help mom and dad build within their children a rock-solid faith so that your kids will know the Lord and thrive in their walk and witness for Jesus.
Okay, question number 19, which you answer in your book, and the DVD set, which we're going to offer, tell you how to get in just a moment, folks, is the question you ask is, why do Christians judge everybody? Why do Christians judge everybody? So why do you think this was in your top 21 questions, and how do you answer it?
Great question. And, you know, this was really more asked by the kids that were kind of teens and preteens. We interviewed a lot of young people ages 5 to 12 or 13. And, you know, it's funny how judge not that you be not judged. That's kind of become the life verse for so many people.
That's the favorite Bible verse of those who don't believe the Bible.
It is. You know, we've talked about in previous generations, the number one most recited verse usually was John 3:16, for God so loved the world. But nowadays, and we hear it just all the time, you know, judge not that you be not judged. Well, the implication is that the core value of Christianity is just pervasive tolerance. See, that's the assumption. And what we have to help kids understand is, number one, the core value of Christianity is the Son of God, Jesus, who died for our sins on the cross, rose again, that by the shedding of Christ's blood, our sins can be washed away. That's Christianity. Now, it is true that in and of ourselves, we really don't have the authority to judge another person. A sinner can't save a sinner. But the Word of God and the Son of God, well, they most certainly are in a position to assess the spiritual condition of all people. You see? So when we're sharing the gospel, turn to Christ and be saved, we're not judging people. Alex McFarland is not determining where you spend eternity. I have no basis for doing that. But the Word of God and the only man that ever rose from the dead, Jesus, said you must be born again.
Well, and quite frankly, the pushback and the hostility, really, it's more than pushback that we get from, we Christians get from the world on this question of judgment, is basically because people don't like being confronted with their sin and the fact that they have to do something about it. So nobody likes to be told, humans do not like to be told how to live. Mm-hmm. We don't, none of us. And so now for the Christian, we understand even though our flesh resists, we must yield to God Almighty's requirements of us on how we live because that counts in the eyes of the Lord, especially.
Amen.
So that it does matter. And we're judged on it by God, not by man, although man does judge sometimes. If I steal money from American Family Association, I'm going to be judged and kicked out of my position here. You know, I can't say, don't judge me, brother.
Right.
That's not going to play with the board, you know.
Matthew chapter 7, verse 1.
They're going to say, we're judging you. You stole money from the ministry, you're out.
Right.
So, we're judging you. Mm-hmm. You know, I couldn't use the... So, this no judging thing is abused. What you're talking about basically is avoiding self-righteousness. In other words, if I were to do what I've just said, which I didn't do, so don't spread the rumor, don't quit giving to our ministry, okay? I didn't steal money from don't use this out of context. What I'm saying is that somebody who would have authority over me at this ministry, for example, our board of directors would say, "Tim, we're sorry, but you're being removed from your office because you can't be trusted with the money anymore. Mm-hmm. So have a good life." And that wouldn't be, but the attitude would be, you know what? I'm a human being as capable of doing something as wrong as you are. Mm-hmm. Therefore, I must watch myself.
That's right.
I must guard myself. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to judge you in that respect. God is your judge. That's judgment. That's not... But what the world says is that don't even raise up a standard of right and wrong in my face because who are you to say? And what we're saying is we're not saying. God Almighty is saying what the standard of right or wrong is.
Right.
We're just proclaiming His word. But that even agitates the world to the point where they get angry at you for doing something of that nature. Hey, Alex, we got 30 seconds. What comes in the packet that we'll send out for $39.99?
Great, folks. You get my book, The 21 Questions. You get a teacher's guide so somebody can lead the group. You get a workbook, and you get the 6 hours of DVD at afastore.net. afastore.net. You need this, folks.
It's Dr. Alex McFarland. It's The 21 Toughest Questions Your Kids Will Ask About Christianity, and gives you the questions and the answers. It is outstanding. For all what Alex just described, for $39.99. Now, you can call and get that right now with your credit card, too, at 877-927-4917. Again, 877-927-4917. Or go on the internet at afastore.net, afastore.net. All that for $39.99. You'll use it for years to come. My thanks to Alex, Abe, and Ed. Have a great day, folks. Keep listening to American Family Radio.